soccer. Millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie. Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate everybody tuning in. It is Memorial Day weekend. I'm always reluctant to say Happy Memorial Day because Memorial Day weekend is actually such a really somber kind of weekend. But so I'll just say it's Memorial Day weekend. So here's what I'd like to do. First, let's get the rules of engagement out of the way because they apply even though it's Memorial Day weekend. You can always text the word Mike or Michael to 33103. I read the text messages 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So regardless of when you're listening to the program, whether you're listening on a podcast, your affiliate carries the program on a different day, different hour, you can always send me your comments, questions, ask Michael anything by texting the word Mike or Michael to 33103. And, of course, if you'd like to follow me on social media, you would like to find the podcast, find an affiliate, find out which affiliate carries the program and what time, simple website to go to, one-stop shop. MichaelSaysGoHere.com. MichaelSaysGoHere.com. So it is Memorial Day weekend. And so I do want to take some time out to do a couple of things during today's program. One, let's talk about what Memorial Day is and what it means. And let's also talk about what Memorial Day is not. Because I think a lot of times people get confused. Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Armed Services Day. We have these different days which memorialize and which commemorate certain aspects of the foundational principles of this country. Even the 4th of July is one of those days. But Memorial Day is a special day. And I know, in fact, I'm tempted at some time during the program today, I may actually go through and talk about some of the great things that are on sale. Because Memorial Day is typically thought about in terms of two things, which drive me nuts. Number one is, it's the start of the summer. It's the start of summer. No, really, that doesn't occur until June. And then two, the Memorial Day sales. I know that as you go about your Memorial Day weekend, you'll see commercials on television. You'll hear commercials on radio about, this is the weekend to buy this. This is the weekend to buy that. Well, not really. So I want to take the next few hours and really focus on what's Memorial Day all about. You know, the United States has fought 12 major wars and, of course, a lot of smaller skirmishes throughout the history of this entire country. Memorial Day is the day and is how we honor the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen, the airwomen, the Marines, those that did not come back from those wars and those skirmishes. Memorial Day dates back to the months immediately following the Civil War, when a few towns in both the North and the South and some of the major cities began actually honoring their dead. In 1868, for example, General John A. Logan, at the time the head of an organization for Union veterans, and later who became a U.S. Senator from Illinois, and actually as a footnote, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you may have been to Logan Circle in Washington, D.C. Logan Circle is actually named for General Logan. He called for May 30th to be designated as Decoration Day. He said the purpose would be for stewing the memories of those who died during the Civil War. So, what is Memorial Day? The Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, the Civil War claimed more lives than any conflict in American history. And it really did require the establishment of the country's first national cemetery. Here in Colorado, we have Fort Logan. The most famous of all probably is Arlington National Cemetery, just outside Washington, D.C., across the Potomac in Virginia. At the top of Arlington National Cemetery is Lee's Mansion, General Lee's Mansion during the Civil War. But there are also the national cemeteries, for example, the Normandy Cemetery from World War II. If you ever have the chance to go to Normandy, see the beaches, see the cemeteries, it's an amazing place to visit. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Washington and visit, for example, the Korean War Memorial, the World War II Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, every single one of those memorials. In fact, I'll tell you a story about my dad at the Korean Memorial later in the program. But because of the Civil War, and because of the hundreds of thousands of Americans that died during that war, we had the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. So by the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to all of the fallen soldiers. And they started decorating the graves with flowers, and they would recite prayers. Now, it's not clear, in my research, it's really not clear where that tradition originated. But different communities, different cities, different towns, probably independently initiated their own memorial gatherings. This is one of those situations where something begins to happen organically, and it happens in different places around the country. And only does it reach a tipping point where suddenly everyone begins to recognize, oh, we all seem to kind of be doing the same thing on the same day and sort of doing all the same things on the same day. Now, some records show that one of the earliest Memorial Day commemorations was actually organized by a group of former slaves in Charleston, South Carolina. Less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865. I think this is so important to note, because often overlooked in the Civil War are the role that black Americans played during the Civil War. And probably the earliest Memorial Day commemoration was actually organized by those formerly enslaved human beings. And of all places, in Charleston, South Carolina. And the timing for me is fascinating, because it was less than a month after General Lee surrendered in 1865. But it wasn't until 1966 that the federal government declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day. Now, I could go down a rabbit hole here and say, well, no, wait a minute. We fought the Civil War in part, in a large part, over slavery. So why don't we determine, and why didn't the federal government determine, that the birthplace of Memorial Day was Charleston, South Carolina? Because what better way, what better place to commemorate Memorial Day than in a place where slaves who fought along with white Americans first started honoring their dead? But no, for whatever reason, the federal government in 1966 decided that it's going to be Waterloo, New York. Waterloo, which first celebrated the day on May 5, 1866, was chosen because, well, they had an annual community-wide event. Sounds kind of trite, doesn't it? So you compare and contrast for a moment that in Charleston, South Carolina, less than a month after the end of the Civil War, black Americans are commemorating their honored dead in Charleston, South Carolina, in the heart of the Confederacy. But oh no, we can't do that. We have to declare that Waterloo, New York, because they first celebrated on May 5, 1866. Actually, almost a year later than black Americans were doing the same thing in Charleston, South Carolina. But it was chosen because, hey, they had an annual community-wide event. Businesses closed down. Residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. Now, footnote. Do you know that every single Memorial Day, there is a national moment of remembrance that takes place at precisely 3 p.m. local time? So I don't know what time you're listening to this program, but whatever time you're listening to the program, on Memorial Day, which is technically Monday, at 3 o'clock, have a favor to ask. Would you just stop for just that one moment at 3 o'clock? Maybe you have an uncle, your father, a grandfather. Maybe you've studied someone in history. Maybe it's someone that is only known to you. But stop at 3 o'clock on Monday, Memorial Day. And just take, I don't care, 5 seconds, 30 seconds, 5 minutes. Doesn't take, it's like saying a silent prayer. Just take that one moment and remember that one individual. Then I have another favor to ask. At the same moment that you remember that one individual that was important in your life, think about all those people that you don't know. In all of those wars, beginning in the Revolutionary War, all the way through Iraq and Afghanistan, and all the wars in between, stop and just think about those people who gave the ultimate sacrifice, something that most Americans aren't willing to do, and stop and remember them. That's your first assignment. So let's go back to the history of Memorial Day. So let's go back to General John Logan. On May 5, 1868, as I said earlier, General Logan, who was this leader of an organization for Northern Civil War veterans, he actually put a call out for a nationwide day of remembrance later in that month, later in May. He says, quote, "The 30th of May, 1868 should be designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, every village, and every hamlet churchyard in the land." As he called it, that day, Decoration Day. And it was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle or any particular war or any significant day in any particular war. It was chosen because it was none of those. It was neutral. And on the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield, who later became president, gave a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Civil War soldiers that are, to this day, still buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Now, a lot of the northern states, they had similar commemorative events, and they reprised the tradition in subsequent years. So by 1890, every one of those places had made Decoration Day an official state holiday. Now, the southern states, on the other hand, continued to honor the dead on separate days until after World War I. So there's a brief history of Decoration Day, but that's not Memorial Day. So how did we get to Memorial Day? Here's a history of Memorial Day coming up next. Remember, you can text the word Michael to 33103. You can always go to the website, michaelsaysgohere.com. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we're understanding and talking about the significance of this coming Monday. I'll be right back.
When When's the last time you checked the legal title to your home? What if your home's title, the document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? That's home title theft. Our home's titles are online. Once a criminal forges your signature, it's a race against time to stop him before he takes out loans against your home, or worse, sells it. When's the last time you checked your home's title? Our partners at Home Title Lock demonstrated how criminals do it. In minutes, they found the titles to homes belonging to our staff with forged signatures, saying our staff had sold them their homes. Some criminal was now the owner. It's shocking, but Home Title Lock helps shut it down. That's what they do better than anyone. How do you know some criminal hasn't taken over the title to your home? Find out for free with sign up when you use promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. That's promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. And your first 30 days of protection are free. Do this today at HomeTitleLock.com.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair. Still the best price in town. Working hard on your dents, dings, and complete paint jobs if your car is peeling or faded. Call for your free written estimate today. They've worked on thousands of vehicles over the years here in Reading, and they accept all insurance companies. Call 530-226-0992.
We'll do it right, and we'll do it fast. Let us get you back on the road again.
Crossroads, we're here to get you back out on the road.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price of the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now. Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and loaded with Japanese maple, flowering dogwoods, peonies, and more. Saturate your landscape with color, azaleas, clematis, phlox, perennials, and annuals. And add another dimension with statuary, bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Plus, all fruit and vegetable plants, including blueberries and strawberries, cantaloupe, tomatoes, peppers, and more, are buy three, get one free. Goldleaf Nursery, open Tuesday through Saturday at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend with Michael Brown. Indeed, it is Memorial Day weekend. And this weekend we're doing a history and I hope some thoughtful things about Memorial Day weekend. It's an important weekend for me because I have my maternal grandfather was a World War I veteran. And he has, in fact, I want this from my mother. I've told my mother of all the things, you know, parents do this. You know, when I die, what do you want? Mom, I really don't want anything except this picture of your dad, my grandfather, with his platoon, battalion, I'm not sure what it was, but a group of him and his fellow soldiers in this long sepia-colored photograph that is about almost 2 feet long and only about, I would say, 8 inches high. And I say it's sepia-colored, but it's all of these doughboys from World War One, and I can picture my I can see my grandfather in the picture. He had a very distinctive face, and so I can picture him. There's about three rows of them, and he's on the front row, toward the far left side. And I want that photograph when my mom passes away, because it's so meaningful to me. Because the stories that my grandfather would tell me about World War One, not a lot, but he'd tell me a little bit. And he was a staunch anti-communist, and he was a staunch believer in, you know, the American dream. So that photo and his stories make Memorial Day important to me, just as my father does, my father who served in the Korean War. So let's talk about Memorial Day. We talked in the last segment a little bit about Decoration Day. But Decoration Day gradually became known as Memorial Day. And it originally honored only those that were lost fighting during the Civil War. But then comes along World War One, and the United States found itself embroiled in another huge, major conflict. And so Decoration Day, that holiday, evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all of our wars, including World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well, for decades, Memorial Day continued to be observed on May 30th. That was the date that, remember, General Logan, we talked about in the last segment, that was the date that he had selected for the first Decoration Day. But then we get to 1968. And in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. That established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May, because the Uniform Monday Holiday Act was created so we would always have these three-day weekends for federal employees. Did you ever know that? That's why, except for maybe the 4th of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving, that's why all these other federal holidays are always on a Monday, so that federal government employees can have the Monday off and they can have a three-day weekend. Well, I don't care. As long as we do focus on Memorial Day itself, that last Monday of the month, for what its real purpose is. And that is to observe and to honor everyone who died in all of these wars. The change went into effect, these three-day weekends, went into effect in 1971. And the same law, that Uniform Monday Holiday Act, declared Memorial Day a federal holiday. So we have a lot of Memorial Day traditions and rituals. What are some of these Memorial Day traditions and rituals? Well, let's talk about them. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Mike or Michael to 33103. I'd be curious what you do on Memorial Day. Let me know in a text message. Text the word Mike or Michael to 33103. Hang tight. Let's talk about some of these traditions and rituals coming up next. I'll be right back.
I'm Joe Sweeney. I founded the Acervo Project 6 years ago in response to the growing epidemic of human trafficking and child exploitation. This criminal enterprise has grown to over 40 million people a year being sold into slavery, engrossing over $100 billion in revenue generated. Classifying this as an epidemic is an understatement, and this is what we're doing. Our investigation teams and cyber analysts are tracking child predators every day to identify and locate them, sharing this information with law enforcement so they can make the arrest and prosecute and convict. We're making the difference, but we need your help. It's an overwhelming task, but what if your action today could help save more kids? The average age of a trafficked child is just 14 years old. Will you join the Acervo Project team? Donate $14 a month to protect the next at-risk 14-year-old. Visit theacervoproject.org to learn more and aid in Acervo's mission to protect kids. Educate them about sexual predators and support victim recovery. Pledge your $14 a month at theacervoproject.org. That's ASSERVO.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie! Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we're spending this weekend's program talking about Memorial Day. And to give you a little kind of roadmap of where we're going, talk a little bit about the history of Memorial Day and how it became Memorial Day. And then I want to tell you some stories, including some personal stories about Memorial Day. But there are all sorts of traditions and rituals surrounding Memorial Day. Different cities and towns may be true in your community. They host Memorial Day parades every year. And those parades often incorporate military personnel, members of veterans organizations. Some of the largest parades take place in Chicago, New York, D.C. But also a lot of Americans observe Memorial Day by simply visiting cemeteries and memorials. Some people wear a red poppy in remembrance of those fallen in war. That's a tradition that began with a World War I poem. I can remember growing up as a child. My grandparents had a dry cleaning business. My paternal grandparents had a dry cleaning business. And they always had at the counter, they would sell these paper poppies. And I never really understood as a child what those poppies were, but I just knew that you could take out a poppy, and I forget whether it was a quarter or a nickel, but there was a slot where you would take the poppy out, and then you could put your quarter in. And I can remember my grandparents running the dry cleaning place, and I would be standing there, probably causing trouble. And I would watch their customers come in, pick up their dry cleaning, pick up their laundry. And during the month of May, they would have that little placard out that the local veterans organization would put out, and people would buy the poppies. I never really understood it. I never really understood it until I started all these years. I mean, we're talking about decades ago. And I started looking into, why did we do this? Well, here's why. From 1914 to 1918, World War I took a greater human toll than any previous war in American history. Some 8.5 million soldiers dead of battlefield injuries and disease. We often forget about disease. It wasn't just injuries, but disease also. The Great War, that's how my grandfather referred to it, and that's how it's kind of generally known. It actually just ravaged the landscape of Western Europe, where most of the fiercest fighting took place. From the devastated landscape of the battlefields, the red poppy would grow, and thanks to a famous poem, became a powerful symbol of remembrance. All across northern France and Flanders, northern Belgium, the brutal clashes between the Allied and the Central Power soldiers just tore up the fields, tore down the forests, tearing up trees and plants and wreaking havoc on the soil. But in the warm early spring of 1915, literally bright red flowers started peeking through the battle-scarred land. I may be mispronouncing this, but the scientific term, Papaver reus, known variously as the Flanders poppy or corn poppy, red poppy, corn rose. Chris McNabb is the author of the Book of the Poppy, wrote in an excerpt published in The Independent that the brilliantly colored flower is actually classified as a weed, which makes, kind of sense given its tenacious nature. But Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, a Canadian who served as a brigade surgeon for an Allied Army unit, he spotted a cluster of poppies that spring, shortly after the Second Battle of Ypres, as I think is how it's pronounced. McCrae tended to the wounded, and in doing so, he got a first-hand look at the carnage of that battle, in which the Germans unleashed lethal chlorine gas for the first time in war. So we often think that chemical warfare is something that, we haven't seen maybe since napalm in the Vietnam War. No, go back to the First World War. The Germans unleashed lethal chlorine gas on soldiers. Some 87,000, think about that, some 87,000 Allied soldiers were killed, wounded, or went missing in that battle. Well, also 37,000 on the German side. So a friend of McCrae's, Lieutenant Alexis Helmer, was among the dead. So McCrae, struck by the sight of the red blooms on the broken ground, he wrote a poem. You've probably heard you've heard the poem before. I've heard the name of the poem. In Flanders Field. In that poem, he channeled the voice of the fallen soldiers that were buried under those hardy weeds, poppies. It was published for the first time in 1915 in a magazine called Punch. The poem would then be used at countless memorial ceremonies and became one of the most famous works of art to emerge from the Great War. The fame of the poem spread far and wide by the time that McCrae himself had died. He died from pneumonia and meningitis in January of 1918. So go back across the Atlantic. A woman named Moina Michael read the poem in Flanders Field in the pages of Ladies' Home Journal that November, just 2 days before the armistice. Then a professor at the University of Georgia at the time that the war broke out, Michael had taken a leave of absence to volunteer at the New York headquarters of the Young Women's Christian Association, the YWCA. The YWCA at the time trained and sponsored workers overseas. Inspired by those verses, Michael wrote her own poem in response, which she called, "We Shall Keep the Faith." As a sign of that faith, and a remembrance of the sacrifice of Flanders Field, Michael vowed to always wear a red poppy. So she found an initial batch of fabric blooms for herself and her colleagues at a department store. After the war ended, she returned to the university town of Athens, and she came up with the idea of making and selling these red silk poppies to raise money to support the returning veterans. Her campaign, this one single woman's campaign, to create a national symbol for remembrance, a poppy in the colors of the Allied nations' flags, entwined around a victory torch. Yeah, it didn't get very far. By mid-1920, she managed to get Georgia's branch of the American Legion, a veterans group, to adopt the poppy, minus the torch, as its symbol. That was the tipping point, because soon after that, the National American Legion, they voted to use the poppy as the official U.S. national emblem of remembrance when those American Legion members convened in Cleveland in September of 1920. Now, on the opposite side of the Atlantic, it's fascinating to me how these things work together. On the opposite side of the Atlantic, a French woman named Anna Guerra, she had championed the symbolic power of the red poppy from the very beginning. So she gets invited to the American Legion convention to speak about her idea for an inter-allied poppy day. Madame Guerin helped convince the Legion members to adopt the poppy as their symbol and to join her celebrating National Poppy Day in the United States. Guess when? The following May. Now, back in France, Guerin organized French women, children, veterans to make and sell these artificial poppies as a way to fund the restoration of war-torn France. In a website run by Heather Johnson, which is devoted to Madame Guerin's work, the French woman may have been the single most significant figure in spreading the symbol of the remembrance poppy through the British Commonwealth countries and other allied nations. One single woman. You know, every time I think about this story, it took one woman. Now, granted, there was something going on in the United States, too. But over in France, Madame Guerin, she single-handedly is responsible for those poppies that I ended up seeing on the counter of my grandparents' dry cleaning store. Within 1 year, she had taken her campaign to England, and in November of 1921, the newly founded Royal British Legion held its first ever poppy appeal. And the purpose of the poppy appeal was to try to sell millions of these silk flowers, which they did, and they raised over £106,000, which at the time was a pretty large amount. And all of that money was to go towards finding employment and housing for the World War I veterans in the United Kingdom. Now, go forward a year. Major George Howson set up the poppy factory in Richmond, England, in which disabled servicemen were employed to make the fabric and paper bloom. Then, it takes off. other nations started doing the same thing. They started adopting the poppy as their official symbol of remembrance. Now, today, century after World War I, more than a century, millions of people in the United Kingdom, Canada, France, Belgium, Australia, New Zealand, they don those red flowers every November 11th, which was known as Remembrance Day or Armistice Day, to commemorate the anniversary of the 1918 armistice. According to the website, the Poppy Factory, which is still located in Richmond, England, and in Edinburgh, Scotland, is still the center of poppy production. You know how many poppies they turn out every year? 45 million poppies, made of different kinds of materials, every single year. So that's on the other side of the Atlantic. But what about on this side of the Atlantic, here in the United States? How did those poppies actually get onto my grandparents' dry cleaning store on the counter? Well, our tradition developed a little differently. We don't typically wear poppies on November 11th, which we call Veterans Day. Veterans Day, again, different from Memorial Day, Veterans Day honors all living veterans. And this is a difference that many Americans fail to recognize. Veterans Day, November 11th, is to honor all veterans. Anyone who has ever served in the United States military in any form, any fashion, any position, we honor them on November 11th. Instead, in this country, we wear that symbolic little red flower, the poppy, on Memorial Day, the last Monday in May. And we do that to commemorate the sacrifice of all the men and women who have given their lives fighting for the country. But what about the poem? Does the poem really mean anything? I'm not very good at poems, but I want you to hear it. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from falling hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. It's an amazing little poem, only three paragraphs. We live, felt dawn, saw sunset glow. We were loved, we love, and now we lie in Flanders fields. To you, from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. It's an amazing little poem, but it personifies, it kind of exemplifies the horror of those battlefields on the Western Front. It was in a war of attrition. It was a war that was fought literally just row upon row. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. It's Memorial Day weekend. And we're thinking about Memorial Day weekend, the history, the traditions, and what it means to different people. I have stories to tell. Text the word Mike to 33103. Be sure to go to the website, michaelsaysgohere.com. Memorial Day weekend, 2023. I'll be right back.
Maxwell, she was scratching and losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to chicken. Another vet said, he's the drain. Third vet said, it's the weather. Then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
It took 2 weeks, and the dog stopped itching. The hair stopped falling out. The DINOVITE is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Get some DINOVITE. How happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Calling all true crime podcast fans. Tune in to Freeway Phantom and join a new investigation into the 50-year-old unsolved murders of six young black girls in Washington, D.C. Explore startling new evidence that could crack these cold cases wide open and bring as many questions as they do answers.
We still care, and it still hurts. We just want to know what happened.
Listen to Freeway Phantom wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 16th annual Taste of Reading 2023, Sunday, June 11th from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.com. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to the Billies, the Stonehearts, Hook, Anna J. Band, and Mark Maccabee and the Ghost Highways. Enjoy fun with the whole family with face painting and balloon artists. There will be fun for the entire family. So come on down to the 16th annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 11th at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find a complete list of events and purchase your tickets by visiting us online at tasteofreading.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Locally owned and operated for 27 years, La Cabana at 1335 Market Street invites you to stop by and enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sundays. La Cabana serves traditional dishes, homemade chili rellenos, carne asada, and carnitas. Dine in or take out. La Cabana, 1335 Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 530-242-1915. That's 530-242-1915.
And so this program for this weekend, we're talking about Memorial Day. And I want to conclude this hour by reminding everybody about, briefly, the history. Memorial Day really started in Charleston, South Carolina, when former slaves who fought along white American soldiers decided that they needed and wanted, desperately wanted, to honor those among them who had died fighting during the Civil War. You fast forward to today, we now celebrate Memorial Day, or we recognize, commemorate Memorial Day, as a way to honor those who died in all of our wars. And so in honor Memorial Day, I want to tell a few stories, some personal, some that I found online, but all stories of people that, in one way or another, kind of personify everything great about people who serve in the military and make the ultimate sacrifice. They give their lives. The first story I want to tell you about is a Medal of Honor winner. The Medal of Honor, the nation's highest award for bravery, for people that make the ultimate sacrifice. This is about Lieutenant Junior Grade Wheaton Edward Osborne, born in Chicago, November 13, 1892. He grew up in an orphanage. He graduated dental school in 1915, enlisted in the Navy as a dental surgeon in 1917, just shortly after the U.S. entered World War I. So when he joined the Army, Osborne was attached to the 6th Marine Regiment at the Battle of Belleau Wood, which is legendary in the annals of the Marine Corps. On June 16, 1918, the Marines were tasked to clear the wood located outside the town of Chateau Thierry, some 50 miles northeast of Paris, cleared of German troops. As the fighting began, Osborne, whose dental equipment had yet to arrive at the front, he volunteered to help rescue wounded Marines. He was carrying an injured officer to safety when they were both killed by an artillery shell. Osborne, 25 years old. That always breaks my heart. It's always the young people. The Navy destroyer USS Osborne, commissioned in 1920, and the USS Osborne Dental Clinic in North Chicago were named in his honor. Osborne is one of three dental officers to receive the Medal of Honor. Rear Admiral Daniel J. Callahan, born to a merchant family in San Francisco, July 26, 1890. He joined the Navy after graduating from Naval Academy in 1911. His naval career spanned 30 years and two world wars. He climbed through the ranks on various ships, eventually earning the nickname Uncle Dan from his sailors. He served as President Roosevelt's naval aide from 1938 to 1941, when he assumed the command of the USS San Francisco. In the Solomon Islands on the night of November 12, 1942, he led his forces against an attack by the numerically superior Japanese fleet. His ingenious tactical skill and superb coordination helped the smaller U.S. force repulse the Japanese offensive. He was killed by a blast on the bridge of the San Francisco. He was awarded the Medal of Honor. Two Navy ships have borne his name, the USS Callahan. It's an amazing story. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Maxwell, he was a runaway into rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet says, it's the grain. Third vet, she says, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
I have been listening to the Dynavite ads, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loves it. Now he's close to 10. And the Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Right here on Free Fire Radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says Republican negotiators are closer to an agreement that would resolve the looming debt crisis. McCarthy also says there's no firm timeline for a final compromise, the White House continuing to impose the Republican idea of a work requirement for those who receive federal food benefits. Two people are dead, 30 wounded after a Russian missile strike in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro. The BBC's James Landale has more from Kyiv.
It's astonishing that there have not been more incidents like we saw in Dnipro. People are still paying a very heavy price, but for now, the Ukrainian air defenses are largely working.
As China appears preparing to invade Taiwan, Senator Tom Cotton says the U.S. should learn the lessons from Allied failures to confront Germany in the 1920s and 30s, which led to World War II, or what Winston Churchill called the unnecessary war.
Any war with China would be another unnecessary war, but it would be the result of a failure of American will over multiple presidential administrations.
Senator Cotton interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. Tech stocks led the way on Wall Street Friday.
Technology stocks powered solid gains on Wall Street, and another chip maker reported strong demand related to artificial intelligence. The upbeat finish to the week for major indexes comes amid lingering anxiety over persistently high inflation, the risk of a U.S. debt default, and broadly weak corporate earnings. The Dow rose 328 points, or 1%. The S&P rose 54 points, and the Nasdaq notched the biggest gains, rising 277 points. The index rose 2.5% for the week as artificial intelligence became a big focus for investors. Critics warn that it is a potential bubble, but supporters say it could be the latest revolution to reshape the global economy. I'm Norman Hall.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sleep Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
New protections for people who find themselves overweight, too tall by other people's consideration, or too short for that matter, in New York City. They will now be offered special protections from discrimination rooted in any of those traits. New York City is set to make it actually illegal to discriminate on the basis of weight or height, and Lisa Dwyer has more.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams has signed legislation that will ban discrimination based on body size by adding weight and height to the list of protected categories such as race, sex, and religion. Exemptions under the ordinance include cases in which individuals' height or weight could prevent them from performing essential functions of the job. Several other cities have also banned discrimination based on weight or on physical appearance, including San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration has stripped one of the nation's largest pharmaceutical distributors of its license to sell highly addictive painkillers. We get more details from correspondent Donna Warder.
The move comes following the DEA's determination that Morris and Dickinson failed to flag thousands of suspicious drug orders at the height of the opioid crisis, and 2 days after an Associated Press investigation found that the DEA allowed Morris and Dickinson to keep shipping drugs for nearly 4 years after a judge recommended the harshest penalty for the company's, quote, cavalier disregard, end quote, of rules aimed at preventing opioid abuse. The order against Morris and Dickinson becomes effective in 90 days, allowing more time to negotiate a settlement. Donna Warder, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. It is Memorial Day weekend, and so we're doing something a little different this weekend than we would normally do. We're focusing solely on Memorial Day, its meaning, and what you and I can do to make this holiday a memorable Memorial Day. As I said last hour, it's always difficult for me to say, hey, have a great Memorial Day weekend, or have a happy Memorial Day weekend. Because in our society, Memorial Day has become the traditional start of summer. It has become that weekend where we think that it's the start of the vacation season. And, in fact, I may do this later in the program. It becomes the weekend where there's certain sales. Oh, my gosh, there's always a President's Day sale. There's always a Memorial Day sale. And I always find that kind of little, well, are we really going to do that on a solemn holiday like this? So we're doing a kind of a, I would say, kind of a walk through the history of Memorial Day, about what it really means, and some of the highlights and some of the turning points in the history of this country that make Memorial Day a somber day of remembrance. I don't know, in my research, I had never come across this story before. And so for me, this was as exciting as I hope that it is to you. I hope it's as moving to you as it was to me. I never heard of this general, but the general's name is Lucian Truscott, T-R-U-S-C-O-T-T, Lucian Truscott. He was the commander of the U.S. Fifth Army. He gave one of the most moving Memorial Day speeches ever given. But it's remembered not so much for how he or what he said, but it's remembered for how he stood. Huh? What do you mean, Michael? How he stood. He spoke at the Sicily-Rome American Cemetery in Nettuno, Italy, on Memorial Day in 1945. So think about that date. 1945. So World War II, we're done. He's in Italy at the Sicily-Rome American Cemetery. He stands to give his prepared remarks, and he turned his back to the audience. And instead, he spoke directly to the nearly 20,000 American soldiers that are buried at the Sicily Rome American Cemetery. And he apologized to them for their death. Now imagine that. Now imagine you're in Italy. You're in one of the absolute center points of World War II. Mussolini, all of the fascism and everything that Europe has faced. And so you go to the cemetery for this Memorial Day observance, and this general stands up. I can just picture him now. He stands, and he walks to the podium. He looks across at the audience, and then he turns around, turns his back to the audience, and apologizes to those buried there for their deaths. At the time, there was a cartoonist, Bill Malden, who was a cartoonist for the newspaper Stars and Stripes. It's now a website. You can go find it, Stars and Stripes. He had a reputation for ruthlessly skewering hypocrisy, particularly among the generals. But Bill Malden called that moment, quote, the most moving gesture that I had ever seen. So here we are all these decades later. And here I am talking about Memorial Day and wanting to give you different examples. Well, I've been given this task of doing 3 hours of talking about Memorial Day and what it means. And I came across a story written by a gentleman by the name of Doyle Hodges. And Doyle Hodges, in telling the story about the general and him turning his back, says that, you know, 54 years later, at the time he had written this, I had the daunting task of writing a Memorial Day speech for my boss to deliver at that very same cemetery. Now, that's pressure. If you know the history of that cemetery, and you know what General Truscott did that day, and now you have to give a speech too, the pressure's got to be enormous. This gentleman says, my boss at the time was the admiral who commanded the U.S. Joint Task Force that had been supporting the Kosovo bombing campaign. He says, had I attempted to suggest that he try to copy General Truscott's address to the fallen, a false gesture the admiral would have rejected out of hand anyway, the disparity in casualties would have quickly pointed out the inadvisability of that approach. Rather than thousands of dead to whom Truscott spoke, the 78-day bombing campaign in Kosovo cost the lives of two, not almost 20,000, but two U.S. service members. You remember that? He was the crew of an Apache helicopter who were actually killed in an accident during a training flight. So this guy has to give that speech on that day. And you have to think about, you can't help but think about, when you think about all the cemeteries, I think about Fort Logan, just north of where I am in my studios in Denver. I think about Arlington National Cemetery. I think about all of those. And what would I say were I to be required to give a speech on Memorial Day in front of those? One of the first things that I thought about came from a personal experience at Arlington National Cemetery. One of my jobs as the Undersecretary of Homeland Security had been to negotiate a new cooperative agreement between the United States and at then just the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The Department of Homeland Security was still in its infancy, hadn't really been stood up yet. But negotiate a new cooperative agreement between the United States and our Russian counterparts. So I had spent a lot of time in Moscow and St. Petersburg, spent a lot of time in Russia going to different military installations, going to Kaliningrad, where a lot of the nuclear weaponry of the old Soviet Union is still stockpiled. And so I'd gotten to know these people that were in charge of EMERCOM, which is the equivalent of our Department of Homeland Security, our equivalent of FEMA. And ironically, the head of EMERCOM at the time is a gentleman by the name of Sergei Shoigu. Shoigu is currently Vladimir Putin's Russian defense minister. Yeah, the guy that's in charge of the war in Ukraine. So I'd gotten to know this guy pretty well, and one of his deputies. And one of his deputies was an old general in the KGB. So in one of the trips back to this country, Shoigu didn't come, but he sent this general. And for the life of me, I can't remember this general's name. But we were going to have dinner one day. And so we're loading up in with the security folks and getting in the cars and headed to the restaurant. And as we're driving through Washington, he can see Lee House at Arlington National Cemetery. And he asks, can we go there? And so I tell the driver, yes, let's go to Arlington. So we turn across, we go across the Memorial Bridge, and we drive up to Arlington National Cemetery. And it's kind of misty, it's kind of cool and rainy out. And so there are no crowds whatsoever. So my security detail tells the guards that are at Arlington who we are, what we're doing, and that we want to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So we go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And we are, of course, the color guard is there, and they're doing their thing, which if you've never seen it, you must go see this. But here I am standing with this former general of the KGB. As we look at those tombs, you can see the eternal flame where John Kennedy is buried. You can see out over, the cloud cover was just high enough that you could see the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial. You could see all across the National Mall. And this general turns to me, and he goes, isn't it amazing that you and I can stand here as friends, as colleagues, and honor those who fought these battles, sometimes together, sometimes opposite of each other. But nonetheless, our humanity, in his words, our humanity brings us together to honor these who have died serving our countries. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. So we stood. Our timing was good. We got to watch the changing of the guard, stood silently. There may have been a dozen tourists there. So it was just me and this general standing up close. And when they finished, and he saluted, and we turned to walk away, he said to me, the next time you're in Moscow, I want to take you to our Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And so I did. On my next trip to Moscow, I met up with him, met up with Minister Shoigu, and we went to their tomb. And I laid a wreath there, and I tried to reciprocate the same words, that isn't it amazing that we can, that our two countries can come together, we're negotiating an agreement on how to handle disasters in other countries around the world that we might partner up on, and that we can set aside our differences to honor those who died in service of our respective countries. And I laid the wreath there, said a short prayer for myself, a silent prayer, and then we went off to dinner. But I'll never forget that moment. And when I read this story about General Truscott and him turning his back at that national cemetery, those stories instantly flashed back in my mind, and I thought, wow, this really is a solemn day. And this is a solemn day for us to, technically will be Monday. But it is a solemn weekend. And it's time for us to recognize that, yes, we take this day to honor those who died on behalf of our nation. But all other nations have men and women who died for their beliefs, for their creeds, died with honor for their country, even if at that time they were mortal enemies of ours. We should honor, first and foremost, those who died on our behalf to preserve freedom in this country. But we should at least take a moment to recognize that there are those who died for other countries, believing what they believe. And they gave the ultimate sacrifice, most of which Americans will never be asked to do. That's why Memorial Day, to me, is so solid. I think a lot of Americans on Memorial Day really do try to commemorate or remember something that they've never personally known. Unfortunately, I have. I had a cousin who died very early on in the war in Iraq. Young cousin, 24 years old, wanted to serve his country, wasn't in Iraq more than 3 or 4 weeks when he's killed. The historian Drew Gilpin Faust, in his book, This Republic of Suffering, he talks about how the experience of Americans who lost loved ones in the Civil War really did shape American attitudes and practices surrounding death, dying, and the responsibility of us as the living to the memory of those who died. In the Civil War, one American in 50 died during that war. So the personal experience of loss was shared by nearly everybody. Now, since 9/11, over 7,000 U.S. service personnel and Department of Defense civilians have died in conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and in Syria. And using the most recent census numbers, that works out to slightly less than one American, not in 50, but one American in 50,000. So I think that on this day, when we think about Memorial Day, it's kind of easy to feel overwhelmed in the face of the grief that's been experienced by those like the mother of my cousin who died in Iraq. I don't know how to comfort her other than to say that I honor what he did. I honor his sacrifice, and I honor his willingness to go to battle for our country, because most Americans aren't. We have an all-volunteer army. People volunteer to join. Now, I know we're having recruitment problems. We'll talk about that on another day. So I think it is easy for us to feel overwhelmed in the face of the grief that's truly experienced, like my cousin's mom, or the relative that you know, their brothers or sisters or their mothers or aunts, uncles, dads, whatever it might be. And I think it's especially true when we exalt military service in this country. You know, we have this, I had a producer on my radio program in Denver for a long time, a young woman who served in the Army, now serves in the Reserve. And I asked her one time about this, thank you for your service, that we all want to do. And she said, and I'll tell you what she said after this break. You can text the word Michael to 33103. Go to the website, michaelsaysgohere.com. My producer's words about thank you for your service coming up next.
Hi, I'm Joe Sweeney. I founded the Acervo Project 6 years ago in response to the growing epidemic of human trafficking and child exploitation. This criminal enterprise has grown to over 40 million people a year being sold into slavery, engrossing over $100 billion in revenue generated. Classifying this as an epidemic is an understatement, and this is what we're doing. Our investigation teams and cyber analysts are tracking child predators every day to identify and locate them, sharing this information with law enforcement so they can make the arrest and prosecute and convict. We're making a difference, but we need your help. It's an overwhelming task, but what if your action today could help save more kids? The average age of a trafficked child is just 14 years old. Will you join the Acervo Project team? Donate $14 a month to protect the next at-risk 14-year-old. Visit theacervoproject.org to learn more and aid in Acervo's mission to protect kids. Educate them about sexual predators and support victim recovery. Pledge your $14 a month at theacervoproject.org. That's A-S-S-E-R-V-O.org.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair, still the best price in town. Working hard on your dents, dings, and complete paint jobs if your car is peeling or faded. Call for your free written estimate today. They've worked on thousands of vehicles over the years here in Reading, and they accept all insurance companies. Call 530-226-0992.
We'll do it right, and we'll do it fast. Let us get you back on the road again.
Crossroads, we're here to get you back out on the road.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Appreciate you tuning in on this Memorial Day weekend. Be sure and text the word Mike or Michael to 33103. Real quickly, so I once asked my former producer here in Denver, who was a member of the U.S. Army, now a member of the Reserves, what's your take? Because I think Americans sometimes, we venerate the military so well that we're at a loss for words. So we often walk up to someone we see in a uniform and we say, thank you for your service. And I said, so what do you think about that? And a response really stuck with me. It was, we actually do get kind of tired of hearing it because this is what we signed up to do and this is what we want to do and we know that we're doing it for you. So how about just a simple thank you? Because particularly if you're in uniform, you walk up on Veterans Day, not Memorial Day because they're still alive, but nonetheless, you walk up to anyone who's actually wearing the uniform and just simply say, thank you. You don't even have to do anything else. Just a thank you. It's those little tiny gestures. Unlike what happened to Vietnam War veterans at return, they were spat upon, kicked around, vilified. Now, I know that may not be appropriate on Memorial Day, but again, because Memorial Day is when we honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. But nonetheless, that stuck with me because they do volunteer. And they do things that you and I don't want to do. So we should just say thank you sincerely. Veterans of modern American wars, they don't say thank you.
I have
two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal House Lender.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Welcome back to Weekend with Michael Brown on this Memorial Day weekend. It is an unusual weekend because it's the start of the so-called vacation season, and there's all sorts of Memorial Day sales. It's the start of the summer. It's also a very somber holiday. You know, as I said earlier, the veterans of the modern American wars in the Middle East, they really don't face the type of rejection or societal blame that a lot of Vietnam veterans experience. Instead, the praise that is now heaped on soldiers and veterans can at times, I think, seem overwhelming. A burgeoning military appreciation industrial complex capitalizes on the public esteem for the military, and we use that to promote everything. Professional sports, cars, and service members are feted on Veterans Day, Armed Forces Day. You got National Military Appreciation Month. Yellow ribbon magnets adorn cars. Grocery stores are going to ask you if you want to round up their bill to the next dollar. And the difference is going to go to support, you know, veteran organizations. That's why when I asked my producer about thank you for your service, her response really was just to say thank you. That's really good enough. You may disagree or agree. I'd be curious what you think. But here's the problem. It's easy to group Memorial Day in with all the other public rituals of appreciation for those who served our country in uniform. Memorial Day is really supposed to be different. In 1865, in a speech to Yale alumni, the theologian Horace Bushnell, a speech called Our Obligations to the Dead, even though it was actually delivered on before the creation of Decoration Day, which became Memorial Day in 1868, Bushnell's oration perfectly presages the themes of a lot of subsequent Memorial Day speeches, which in the next hour you're going to hear from Ronald Reagan. The grand public motive he talked about, the grand public motive to which the dead gave up their life. What is that grand public motive to which the dead gave up their life? So when Bushnell was giving this speech, he first argued that the dead ought to be given their, quote, due share of the victory and the honors of victory. Because you see, for the theologian, victory for him was not understood solely as a battlefield triumph. But victory for him was more the attainment of the moral good for which the war had been fought. Now think about that. Victory for him was not understood solely as a battlefield triumph, but more so the attainment of the moral good for which that war in which that person had died was fought. Now if you measure it against that standard, then the effort to valorize or to give meaning to the sacrifices of both the Vietnam and modern American wars is probably more challenging than just giving away a medal and describing battlefield heroics. Now, some American soldiers displayed great heroism, and U.S. forces were rarely, if ever, defeated in individual battles. The strategic success, though, and the moral meaning of those wars is, and I think, uncomfortably, but rightfully so, contested. And I think that, again, while those soldiers that fought in all of those wars really did display great heroism, a lot of Americans feel ambiguous about those modern wars. Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Syria, wherever we're engaged in battle. I think Americans really do feel ambiguous. Sometimes we ask, what are we fighting for? So how do you find personal meaning on Memorial Day? As I told you in the beginning of this segment, the beginning of this hour, that I find it in that moment with that Russian general, a former KGB agent, standing at our Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I've been to Arlington National Cemetery. I honestly don't know how many times. Any time that I was the undersecretary and I had family or friends come to visit, that was among the stops that we always made. Because there is something about that place where those soldiers are entombed. In all those wars, every single one of them, and you stand and you watch that color guard in such strict, coordinated, controlled fashion guard those tombs through wind and hail and rain, storms, sleet, everything. I think about what they do. They do it day in and day out. And there I am standing with that former KGB agent and a general. And we are both, in commonality, honoring those. And then I start thinking about, obviously, my father, for example. My father served in the Korean War. I don't remember much at all. Now, he did not die. He died of natural causes later in life. But during my lifetime, during his lifetime, he never really spoke about anything that he did during that war. And to this day, he's been dead many, many years now. I have really no idea what he did. All I have are Kodak 35mm slides that he took while he was stationed in Korea. And I oftentimes, you can find some of those on my Instagram account, at Michael D. Brown. But oftentimes I will look at those, and I'll look at my dad, and I'll look at his friends and his fellow soldiers, and I'll wonder to myself, if I only knew what they did, if I only knew what they were up to, what did they see? What changed their lives by doing that service? So finding personal meaning on Memorial Day, here would be my challenge to you. How about finding a family member that has served someone? Now, they may not want to do it, but the worst thing that can happen is they can tell you no, right? But find them and ask them, I'd like to know about your service. I'd like to know, are there any stories? I'd like to hear some stories. Would you tell me some stories? Because it's only through those individual stories that we can collectively maintain the memory of all of those, because even those who did not die in the battlefield, they're human beings, and they will eventually die like all of us will. And those stories will be lost. So maybe you can find a way to get an oral history of their service. Maybe you can find a way to get them to tell you stories or write down stories. Maybe they've got a diary they've never divulged to anyone. Maybe they don't want to divulge it to you today. That maybe they would agree that upon their death, those stories of those wartime things that they dealt with can be revealed, can be told to other family members. It's a difficult thing, but I think it's a necessary thing. I think it's necessary because for most Americans, I think the connection to Memorial Day, remember, one in 50 Americans during the Civil War perished, or I shouldn't say perished, they knew it affected 1 in 50 families, 1 in 50 people. Today it's 1 in 50,000. So we become even more remote from those, except in those individual cases where that family unit, a father, a mother, a brother, a son, aunt, uncle, whatever it might have been, but in that family unit, in that immediate family, someone has died. But beyond that, you'd have to find 49,999 other families to find another family that's experienced what that family has experienced. So it is difficult. The fact that America's modern wars have largely been wars of choice doesn't mean that the choice to fight them was bad. or good. Wars of necessity always have, well, I shouldn't say always, but tend to have very clearly defined goals and a very stark moral purpose. They're often about national survival. A war of choice, on the other hand, are fought to achieve a limited policy goal, which has a political value that, to some degree, limits the degree of effort and sacrifice appropriate to its achievement, which is why it's, I think, more important than ever, considering the last four or five wars that we have fought, that we really do memorialize those who gave their lives. In World War II, we actually completely reordered our economy, reordered our society. Everything was about supporting the war effort. There's a book called Taxing Wars. She writes that modern wars have not been deemed worth the cost of even a significant tax increase. Think about that. Did Congress ever come to us because of Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, any ongoing battle? They haven't even come to us in Ukraine. I know we don't have soldiers directly involved in Ukraine, but our military strength is being given to Ukraine, and yet we've not been asked for a tax increase. Now, we're being taxed through inflation, and we're being taxed in having to replenish all of that material that we provide to the Ukrainians, but it's not like as a nation we've been approached and said, listen, we're going to do this. It's in our national security interest. It's vital to the survival of the United States. And therefore, we're going to increase or put a surcharge on all incomes of X or all wealth or whatever in order to finance this. We haven't been asked to do that. Compare and contrast that to World War II. Now, I know that World War II is not comparable to the war in Ukraine. We're fighting a proxy war in Ukraine. But still on this Memorial Day, Ukrainian soldiers are dying. Russian soldiers are dying. Ukrainians may know what they're dying for. I'm not convinced the Russian soldiers know what they're dying for. It means that this idea of a war limited by its political cost is nothing new. Wars are fought for an object, and when the cost of war exceeds the value of the object, it will likely come to a conclusion. But such instrumental use of violence sits uneasily alongside the soaring rhetoric of the grand public motive to which the fallen have given up their lives. Let's don't lose that. Regardless of what you think of Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Ukraine, Vietnam or Korea, regardless of what you think about any of those wars, people gave up their lives. Even if they weren't Americans, but particularly if they were Americans, because after all, this is our Memorial Day weekend. And I think on our Memorial Day weekend, we really do owe it. Regardless of whether it's 1 in 50 or 1 in 50,000, and whether it's a world war that upends everything about society and the economy, and everything is focused on winning that war, or it's a war of choice, and we all go about our business, and we read about it or hear about it on the nightly news, comes to our living room through television, we still owe this day to those who gave those lives. That's what's most important about Memorial Day weekend. So go find that family. Or go find that coworker and ask them. I don't know how you approach them, but ask them. I'd like to hear your stories if you're willing to tell them. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to 33103. I'll read all your text messages this weekend because I'd love to hear your thoughts. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
When When's the last time you checked the legal title to your home? What if your home's title, the document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? That's home title theft. Our home's titles are online. Once a criminal forges your signature, it's a race against time to stop him before he takes out loans against your home, or worse, sells it. When's the last time you checked your home's title? Our partners at Home Title Lock demonstrated how criminals do it. In minutes, they found the titles to homes belonging to our staff with forged signatures, saying our staff had sold them their homes. Some criminal was now the owner. It's shocking, but Home Title Lock helps shut it down. That's what they do better than anyone. How do you know some criminal hasn't taken over the title to your home? Find out for free with sign up when you use promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. That's promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. And your first 30 days of protection are free. Do this today at HomeTitleLock.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. And again, I find it odd because I keep wanting to say Happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone. And it's not supposed to be a happy weekend. I mean, I want you to be happy. I want you to enjoy the weekend. But really, my objective this weekend on the program this weekend is to get you to stop the fun that you are having and think for a moment about those who sacrificed and gave their lives for the freedoms that you and I are enjoying this weekend. It's almost like I've got these dueling objectives right now. In that last segment, I was describing how the difference between a war of choice and a war of necessity. World War II was delivered to Americans that were alive at that time the greatest generation, was delivered to them via radio. There wasn't television. I mean, there were newsreels, yeah, but you went to a theater, but there weren't the networks. And there wasn't a television or multiple televisions in every household. How many TVs do you have in your household? Wasn't that way during World War II. And when people tuned into the radio, they sat and they listened to the radio. They didn't watch anything. They may have looked at each other. They may have sat and eaten, you know, snacks or something with some Kool-Aid and crackers and cheese or something, but that was it. But fast forward to the war of choice that most of us lived through. And that, of course, was the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was delivered to us by television. This is NBC News, January 20th, 1969.
An allied force of more than 8,000 men today tightened its hold on the Batangan Peninsula on South Vietnam's central coast, trapping an undetermined number of North Vietnamese and Viet Cong troops in tunnel and bunker systems. Yesterday, the Allies killed 23 of the enemy and captured 136. In the Mekong Delta, the Saigon government and the Viet Cong continued their struggle for the allegiance of the people. Here is a report on that struggle, some of it shown in captured Viet Cong film, from NBC News correspondent Bob Jones.
There is nothing subtle about Viet Cong village indoctrination. The communists carry signs saying they are taking over the Saigon government, and their very presence in the village is usually enough to convince the average Vietnamese farmer. The VC method isn't all banners and marching in the streets, of course. They also bring in skilled political theoreticians who know how to talk to farmers about local grievances in words calculated to move them to the side of the National Liberation Front. The people are promised that the time is close at hand when the National Liberation Front will emerge victorious and a new flag will fly over every village in the South. The government's answer to all of this has been to imitate the Viet Cong. It almost looks like the same man is running both sides of the program. Workers called Revolutionary Development Cadremen wear the black pajamas associated with the Viet Cong. The banner slogans are changed slightly to urge the Viet Cong to get out of Vietnam. The imitation includes entertainment for the villagers. In this case, it may lack in artistic quality, but it's good enough to hold the attention of the village school children. When Washington and Saigon designed Revolutionary Development several years ago as a copy of the successful Viet Cong program, the hope was that eventually villagers might find a spot in their hearts for the government of President Q and Vice President Ky and turn their backs on the Viet Cong.
The only trouble with the Allied version is that it has not worked. Like many other experiments out here, Revolutionary Development is now on its way out. In its place are expected American troops. The new theory is that Revolutionary Development may look good on paper.
Hi, I'm Joe Sweeney. I founded the Acervo Project 6 years ago in response to the growing epidemic of human trafficking and child exploitation. This criminal enterprise has grown to over 40 million people a year being sold into slavery, engrossing over $100 billion in revenue generated. Classifying this as an epidemic is an understatement, and this is what we're doing. Our investigation teams and cyber analysts are tracking child predators every day to identify and locate them, sharing this information with law enforcement so they can make the arrest and prosecute and convict. We're making the difference, but we need your help. It's an overwhelming task, but what if your action today could help save more kids? The average age of a trafficked child is just 14 years old. Will you join the Acervo Project team? Donate $14 a month to protect the next at-risk 14-year-old. Visit theacervoproject.org to learn more and aid in Acervo's mission to protect kids. Educate them about sexual predators and support victim recovery. Pledge your $14 a month at theacervoproject.org. That's A-S-S-E-R-V-O.org.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.